Well, welcome to our series on the Old Testament book of Habakkuk, which we are subtitling An Honest Conversation with God. As is our custom at Oceanside, we tend to alternate between New Testament and Old Testament books and for our series, as well as kind of between narrative and poetic books and then teaching books within each testament. So we finished up 1 Corinthians in the fall, and then our last main Old Testament book was the narrative book of 1 Samuel. And so today we begin the prophetic book of Habakkuk with an introduction to the book. I have something behind me a little bit, not sure. These introductory messages are really always some of my favorite because we get to do a little biblical history as we learn together how to read the biblical text well. And so that's why this morning I decided not to put the context in. I went for the more nerdier academic glasses, a little more professorial this morning. But let's start with the most important question of all, which is, how do you say the prophet's name? Yes, it's a hotly debated question. I want you to know Hebrew scholars are actually divided, mostly between Habakkuk and Habakkuk. So we're going to go with the latter. Well, I'm going to go with the latter because I just like it better and find it quicker and easier to say of Habakkuk. But I may occasionally alternate just to confuse you. And if you want to do Habakkuk, I just want you to know that there's grace and there's Christian freedom here. We won't remove you from church membership or from your life group if you want to say Habakkuk. They are both right. So now that we know how to pronounce his name, let's talk about who Habakkuk is. And I hate to disappoint you here, but we really don't know much at all about Habakkuk, except that he was a prophet of Judah, likely a contemporary of Jeremiah. So we don't know much about his personal life, but we can construct the scene around him when he wrote this book. And when did he write it? Well, he likely wrote the book toward the end of the 7th century BC. But like a lot of books of the Bible, there's a range of possibilities based on one's interpretation of various clues within the text. And, you know, there's no definitive answer of the date of the book, and dates range as wide as 697 BC all the way to 586 BC. But there's a reasonable consensus that it was written quite close to the close of the 7th century BC. So between around kind of 612 to 589, and if you just want to stick a date in your head, I would say 605 is just kind of a good one to put in there. That's probably pretty close. And the reason we date it around then is due to the historical events that are mentioned in the book, namely the coming of the Babylonian invasion. So let's look at the historical context of what was happening. The best clue for historical context and dating comes in chapter 1, verse 6, where it says, "I am raising up the Babylonians, that ruthless and impetuous people who sweep across the whole earth to seize dwellings not their own." So this verse seems to imply that Habakkuk is writing before the Babylonians started attacking Jerusalem, which was in the very early 6th century BC, but during, while they were already beginning their conquest of other nations in the 7th century BC. That's why it says these are those who sweep across the whole earth. They're already starting their dominance. And so here I'll draw your attention. Did you guys get these when you came in this morning? Oh, big fail on our parts. Okay, we're going to have these at the end of the service for you when you walk out. They're getting them ready right now. Yeah? Okay, I got a thumbs up out there. Okay. because, you know, we had to cut all these. We got to take advantage of, make sure you get them. But I'll draw your attention to this little bookmark helper that you're going to receive, and you don't need it now anyway, because we'll put it on the screen for now, which I often use this when we study an Old Testament book. I've kind of developed this over the years just to help people place what's happening when they're reading the Old Testament. So this is a brief Israelite history, so you don't have to write this down or take a picture. You're going to actually get this with you, and you can stick it in your Bible. But so, you know, we have 1800. These are all BC. You get the call of Abraham. You got the Exodus, which is notoriously hard to date, but somewhere in there. The period of the judges. We did the book of Samuel, so you had Samuel's birth. Then the key thing is in the year 1000, so easy to remember, which is nice, you have the forming of the United Kingdom in Israel under Saul and David. Then David's death, Solomon becomes king. In 931, you get this key event, which is the divided kingdom. So from this point on, Israel's divided in between the northern kingdom. It's normally just called Israel, is the northern kingdom from this point on, and the southern kingdom, which is referred to in the Bible normally as Judah. And so Israel falls quite a bit earlier than Judah. That's northern Israel, northern kingdom. They are conquered by Assyria. So some of the books in the Bible deal with that. Where we are around is just before Judah will fully fall to Babylon in 586. And then Jerusalem gets completely destroyed. There's some books of the Bible about that. It's the end of the monarchy. And then you have them carried into exile. And then the exiles eventually are sent back. You get the rebuilding of the temple. That's Nehemiah and books like that. And then there's the Persian period where Israel's pretty free, but technically under kind of Persian rule. And then you get the conquest of Alexander, the end of the Persian rule, and then no books of the Bible from that time until we get to the New Testament. So you can see where we are in the story. There's already some instability because Judah has watched the northern kingdom already fall and some of its people taken away into exile. So they are aware of this possibility, and they were taken away mainly because of their disobedience to God. And now, as we'll see, wickedness is kind of running wild in Judah too, the same thing that happened in Israel. And eventually that's going to result in this Babylonian conquest of Judah and Jerusalem, which is just a sad and a devastating blow to God's people. And it's described in depth in books like Jeremiah, which is followed by the book of Lamentations, which, as its name suggests, is a lament of how they are taken away from their lands and into exile. And it's an incredibly sad and tragic book. And that's why this is considered a prophetic book, books by the prophets, because it warns God's people about what is to come if they do not repent. So let's talk about what kind of book it is then. Habakkuk is specifically a part of what we call the minor prophets, or the book of the 12, referring to these 12 books that are at the end of your Old Testament, from Hosea all the way to Malachi. The only reason that they're called the minor prophets, just so you know, is in reference to their length. Okay, it's certainly not about their importance. So that's why it's kind of fallen out of fashion a bit to say minor prophets, because it can be confusing, makes it sound like maybe they're lesser books or lesser prophets. But you can say minor prophets as long as you realize there's nothing minor or less significant about their message. And so Habakkuk is the eighth book out of this book of the 12, or the minor prophets. And so he falls in line with the tradition of these prophets. Although what makes Habakkuk really stand out is he never directly addresses Israel, nor does he say, "Thus says the Lord." Rather, as our subtitle indicates, it's really more of a conversation with God that Habakkuk has. But it's still written for the sake of Israel and with Israel in mind as the audience. By Israel, I mean all of them, Judah to southern kingdom. So what's the book about? Let's talk about some themes. Of course, we'll get into all of this in depth, but here's what's going on in a nutshell. Habakkuk sees God's people behaving poorly. even wickedly. And he wonders, why is God not doing anything about it? He feels like God is tolerating evil and injustice among his people. And so Habakkuk complains to God about it. And God gives a shocking answer that really disturbs Habakkuk. God says, I'm going to take care of it, and here's how. I'm going to raise up a nation even more wicked than yours to punish your wickedness, the guilt of Judah. And Habakkuk's first reaction is, well, that's a really dumb idea, God. That's actually basically what he says. As he says in chapter 1, verse 13, he says, why would you use the wicked to swallow up those who are more righteous than themselves? And then God replies and says, don't worry, I'm sovereign. I know what I'm doing. And then Habakkuk essentially concludes, or kind of almost remembers, right, like, I forgot how righteous and just you are, and how you've always shown that in the past. Therefore, I will rejoice and trust in the Lord. So Habakkuk is actually considered one of the easier prophetic books to read because the structure is just very clear and straightforward, consisting of two questions or complaints, each which are followed by God's answer to these complaints. And then it ends with this prayer and praise. So if you're new to the Old Testament or the prophetic books, this is actually a great one to kind of dip your toes in a little bit. So I've developed a sort of very simple and colloquial outline for you. This is a Joseph original. You won't find this in the commentaries, of sort of outlining the book of Habakkuk and what it's like. Okay, so starts in chapter 1. This is what we'll cover next week, the first four verses. This is Habakkuk's first complaint. And Habakkuk's basically like, hey, evil goes unpunished. God, what is up with that? And then God answers, God says, hey, don't worry. I'm taking care of it. Here's my plan, Habakkuk. And Habakkuk complains again. He says, I don't like your plan, like, at all. And then God replies and says, don't worry, there's much more to it than you can see. And then the book ends with Habakkuk's confession of faith. He says, okay, we're all good then, God. I forgot that I should trust you. So with that outline in mind, now that you kind of have an idea, here's some of the main themes that we're going to get into in this book. First, theodicy, which just means the problem of evil and injustice. Meaning, why does God allow the wicked to prosper, seemingly unpunished? And although Habakkuk is understandably often compared to Job, it's different in that, you know, Job is really more personal. It's about why do bad things happen to good people? In particular, me, in Job's case, whereas Habakkuk is more, well, why do good things happen to bad people? Why does it look like their plans are succeeding despite them going against God's ways and God's laws? And you've probably felt that before. And no prophet more directly challenges the idea of a just God in light of injustice more than Habakkuk, which is why we're calling this an honest conversation with God that Habakkuk has. So related, another theme is that of justice or social justice. Habakkuk is really following in the prophetic tradition of concern for justice and imploring God for justice. And so even this short book will address social justice issues such as economic inequality, care for creation, unjust profit, political corruption, even care for and good treatment of animals. Another important theme is God's sovereignty. Part of the conclusion will be that God is sovereign over all nations. Nations may think they're acting on their own, and they may think they're getting away with it, but God oversees all. One of the theological centerpieces of the book comes in chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, where it says, "Has not the Lord God Almighty determined that the people's labor is only fuel for the fire, that the nations exhaust themselves for nothing? For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Can't wait to get into that text. But Habakkuk is about believing in God's eschatological, meaning God's eventual justice, even in the midst of present injustice. Which leads us to our last theme, probably the most prominent theme of Habakkuk, which is living by faith, waiting patiently. Habakkuk joins the long line of biblical prophets and psalmists and poets and songmakers who cry out, like Habakkuk does in verse 2 of chapter 1, "How long, O Lord, until you make things right?" And the Lord's answer will be to stand firm, to have faith and trust in God, to wait patiently, for God will prevail. And know that those who do wait will for sure be rewarded. And so perhaps the most famous verse of the entire book and the other centerpiece of it, which some of you will know becomes a key verse in the New Testament, is in chapter 2, verse 4, where it says, "See, the enemy is puffed up. His desires are not upright, but the righteous person will live by his faithfulness." And so we'll get into that. But this is what places Habakkuk firmly in the larger biblical story and the prominent themes of Scripture, namely the message that God will do something about human sin and evil in the world. First, through the cross, where he will then offer grace and forgiveness to all who believe. And then fully when he comes again in glory as king to rule the whole earth and all nations, as God becomes all in all. But in the meantime, we put our trust in God's faithfulness, and we live by faith in the present. So how can you engage our community study of Habakkuk and get the most out of it for our discipleship together and being formed together as fully devoted children of God who are fully mature in Jesus Christ, fully alive in the Holy Spirit, as our vision statement says? Well, here's two action steps or applications or sort of assignments for this week. So number one is read Habakkuk in one sitting. It's a short book. This is totally doable. Maybe you already did it already. But even better, read it aloud in one sitting, which is how most people would have read or heard or known the book throughout history from the time of Habakkuk until recently. So to help you follow through on this, here's what we want you to do, actual homework. Send us the video or audio recording of you reading it aloud in one sitting. Yes, we actually want you to do this. And when you're finished reading, if you can, just mention at the end of your video or audio recording, just one or two like burning questions that come to mind as you were reading the book. They can be totally like on the moment questions. And then we want you to send it to us. You might wonder, how are we going to do that? I wondered that too, so I asked Marcello. He said, this is the easiest way to do it, to send it via our Facebook Messenger, so to Oceanside Community Church, so just as a file, so that way you can easily do it on your phone, or Instagram, so apparently you can send videos this way, I don't know. If those options don't work for you, no worries. You can find an old school way, talk to Marcello, and you can email him and just let him know that you want to do it, and we'll find a way. And then next week, so then we're going to see how many people can take on the challenge. So feel free also to do it with someone. That might be best. So if you're not even sure how to do it, then find someone who can do it. Do it in a group. And then those of you in a life group, your life group leader may have you do it together in your group. And then you can just all do it as one, where you read different verses together. Then next week, we'll kind of put it up on the screen, how many did it, list of all the people. So we'll send out a reminder on how to do this in this week's e-newsletter. So make sure you're subscribed. If you're not, we'll kind of resend the instructions. And then, again, your life group leader might help you do it together as well. So that's the first thing. Read the whole thing before we start it next week. The next is to study it in community together. Obviously, in your life group, if you're a part of one, is a great option. But also, we are super excited to offer both a men's and women's supplemental Bible study throughout these 10 weeks of Habakkuk. And so I'm so pumped that we're doing this. The men's is limited to 9 people, so you might want to sign up because it's going to take place in a home in Qualicum. It will be on Tuesdays starting April 28th, so that's the week after the first message. I believe you can sign up online for that one. The women's one will be here at the church, so it's unlimited in amount of people that can come, and that's going to be on Wednesday nights, so one night after the men's, starting April 29th. So this information's on our website, but 6:30 to 7:30. I don't think you have to sign up online, but it's helpful if you do, but you don't have to, but just so they can get a feel for numbers. So that will also run the 10 weeks after, starting after next week's message, after we cover the first couple verses. So they're going to have study materials to help you so that you can go a little deeper. It'll be more interactive and be able to go in depth into the book. So this is just a great way to follow through on our message to press on in discipleship, to kind of do the slower, sometimes harder work of discipleship and studying God's word together. So let's do this together. I'm very excited. I think these next 10 weeks can be extremely formational for our community if we press in and press on together. So commit in your heart to kind of follow along, to be here each week, to be faithful in your life group or the Bible study, because we learn best and we grow and mature best in community together.